Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Nehemiah is well known for a story of what? Not how high he is, Harold. Yep. I talked to Harold about this, and he says, "Oh, Nehemiah, the shortest man in the Bible." I said, "What?" Of course, I heard this before, but he got me. Yep. He's only Nehemiah. So, he's not, his name's not Amiah. But, we're going to, are we prepared when God calls? We're going to be talking about. We're going to look at the life of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was known for his leadership and his organization. Pastor spoke with the Sunday nights on Nehemiah, a great series on that. And so Nehemiah's life is a great example of being a leader, a godly leader when God called, an organizer, and and giving God the credit. When all is done, he looked back and he said, it is of God. Why we are here today and what has been done. Nehemiah was from Persia. He had a good job there working for the Persian king within the government. And so he was comfortable. But yet, hearing of these walls in Jerusalem were in ruin, God laid upon his heart to have a burden for this, for these walls in Jerusalem. And so we're going to take a journey and go about Nehemiah's life, how he what he did to take place, and what happened in the next chapters of his life when learning of these walls and God putting on his heart a burn, a yearning of what he is to do about it. And then we can also have application for our own lives as well, as what we can do when faced, when God calls or things that come in our own lives. Nehemiah was concerned about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is known as the holy city. It is going to be the city on a hill where Jesus comes down in the millennial kingdom, and he's going to reign there for 1,000 years. And so this is what Jerusalem is known for. And so let's take a look at Nehemiah's life and see what God has called him to Jerusalem. When God called him to Jerusalem, what steps did he take place? What happened here? All right. Rebuilding a wall in Nehemiah chapter 1. Let's start with verse 2, 3, and 4. Some of you help me read here. Let's see what happened to Nehemiah when God called him. Let's see some steps he takes. So, Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Eric, can you read that? All right. So here we see Nehemiah asking his brother and some men, what's going on up there? What is happening? And he's hearing of these walls being were in ruin, torn down. What are these walls? Who cares about the walls? What's the big deal about walls? Well, back then these walls were like our today a modern day police force of protecting the city. This was their protection against the enemy. And Jerusalem was a well-known city. They had their own language, their own king. And they had these walls to protect them from the outside influences, from the enemy that wanted to tear this down and then take over. And so Nehemiah, learning of this, he is greatly distressed. He turns around and he's weeping, he's crying. He has a great heart for this city. His ancestors were there or from there. And he just loving this city and having this heritage about it, he's weeping, he's crying, But then what does he do first? He prays. He says, goes to the Lord in prayer, and asks, "What shall I do? Where do you want me to go? What would you have of me, Lord?" He fasted. He took prayer seriously. He fasted. He looked to the Lord and said, "Listen, not I can do this upon myself, but yet you, Lord, with your help." can help me. I often wonder in our lives, you know, when things come in our ways, are we prepared? Do we start off with prayer? Is that the first thing we go to when learning of something? Is turn to prayer, you know? We know it, we can't do it by ourselves as Christians, so we want to look to God for prayer. Nehemiah immediately turned to God, and he took it seriously. You know, he fasted, he cried over it, he fasted, then he took it to prayer and asked God. He knew that he was not able to do it on his own, so recognized that God is holy, and also he needed his help. So that's what he did first. He prayed. All right, let's see what he did second. After he prayed and went to God first, then he went and he researched what he needed to do. Number two, he researched it. In Nehemiah 2, 11 through 13, after he prayed, he researched it. Nehemiah 2, 11 through 13. Pastor Josh, can you read that? All right, here we see Nehemiah after God walked, after God led him, okay? After God had led him, he didn't go out on his own. He was had confirmation from God that God was going to lead him to Jerusalem, all right? So with God, the backing of God, he goes and he researches this out and looks and see what he has to do. Goes out and looks at the damage and assesses it. He's not out there, hey, look at me, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to rebuild these walls. It was nothing to do with him. He was quiet about it, the Bible says. He took a few men out and he researched it out and says, what is now going to take place? Now that God has called me, what do I need to do to take the first steps to take these steps to what God would want me to do? So he researches it and sees what needs to be done. What about us in our own lives? You know, after we get confirmation from God, go out and see what needs to be done with our own hearts and minds, you know, with the backing of God. You know, where now, God, I know what you want me to do. Now I want to go and I want to find out some details. You know, in our own lives, be careful where we get our details. Be careful when asking people. We might want to seek biblical counseling in these areas. People that you can trust biblically when you ask, when you're researching something. You might want to ask somebody an opinion, you know, in some of your research, but be careful with that. Just go and seek biblical counseling in some areas that you know that people you can trust who are going to be centered on the Word of God instead of just going out there and researching and getting information yourself, but yet asking other people, you're going to get different things that are going to happen that come into your life. So seek biblical counseling if needed within our own hearts and minds if we need further research on things. Make sure there's biblical counseling, biblical help. Then we see he established a plan. He prayed, he researched what needed to be done, and then he established a plan. In Nehemiah 2, 16 through 18, we see Nehemiah now establishing a plan. He went out and he researched it, and he says, man, now he develops this plan. Nehemiah 2, 16, 17, and 18. Pastor Hallett, can you read that? All right. In verse 19. All right, so we see here in 16, 17, 18, we see Nehemiah, he's establishing this plan. goes out and establishes a plan how he's about to take this. So he's furthering his call to what he needs to do. All right. Now, he's also being laughed at. In verse 19, he's being mocked by these people. You know, what are you, crazy? Who do you think you are? Well, as we establish a plan and as others come in about and find out what we're doing with our plan, how often do we in our own lives maybe scorn, maybe laughed at? Are you kidding me? You're crazy. Don't go that direction. That's not where you belong. That's not what you should be doing. You'll never do it. You're a failure. You're not going to succeed at that. Do something that you're more qualified for. Be at the backing of God, all things are possible. So he is saying, you know what? He's within this laughing at him and people mocking him. He's just still saying, you know, I'm going to hold true to what God has me to do. You know, do not let the opinions of others, you know, others, people change your mind when God is behind you. All right. Proverbs 29:25. I'll read that for you. Proverbs 29:25. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting in the Lord means safety. You know, we will find comfort. Find your comfort knowing that God is your safety net. You know, people will still instill fear within you. Put those doubts, but yet you'll find safety. You'll find comfort in the Lord. All right? Establish a plan. All right. Let's see if he had some passion about what he was doing and how we can apply that to our lives. Nehemiah 3:1-2. Nehemiah 3:1-2, and also verse 4, verse 6. Nehemiah 3:1-2, 4, verse 6. Angela, can you read that? Chapter 4, verse 6. All right. So here we have one man, Nehemiah. What's he got here? He's got an army of people all surrounded, building this wall, you know, and we see in verse 6 that there's passion there. There is passion within people. In chapter 4, verse 6, he's gathered these armies, gathered a group of people, his leadership skills, and because of the passion coming out of him, where God has led him in his life, what? He's now spewing that out to others. People see this passion within Nehemiah, this drive that God has given him, and now people are working with enthusiasm. They're excited about doing it. They're, you know, it's all for one cause. You know, of course, he's telling them, you know, the Lord is within this, in this. The Lord is directing us and encouraging them. So, us with our own lives, when God gives us a direction, we need to be passionate about it. We need to be excited about it and be enthused about the work of God, you know, and in that, well, people see us doing a work of God and they see us doing it with a happy heart, with a joyful heart. Not, woe is me, I guess I have to do this over here. You know, it's just the opposite. What type of testimony is that? You know, that's, It's coming from the heart here of spewing out, oh boy, I have to do this again. Well, back to the beginning. Was it from God? You know, was it planned out? And is God backing it? Well, if God is backing us, and we need to do it with passion. Show within our hearts that it's coming from the Lord. Also, people around us will see. I want to be part of that. I want to be involved. You know, or help you, or encourage you, or pray for you. I see your passion. It's contagious. Acknowledge weaknesses. Nehemiah 4:7-9. Nehemiah 4:7-9. We see some weakness. We see here 4:7-9. Bruce, can you read that? Chapter 4:7-9.
Thank you.
here Nehemiah is made plans to come fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion, you know. All right. So Nehemiah, okay, well, we have some people against us, and we have a problem here. All right. What are we going to do with this problem? You know, well, we find in verse 9, but we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. One worked and one guarded. All right. So here we have hand in hand working out a problem of what do we do now when things come up? You know, he acknowledged there was some problems here that he did not anticipate. Well, I didn't plan on this as what he's saying here, but yet he came up with a plan to get through it. Be willing to adjust yourselves as things come up. As things arrive in our own life, we need to be willing to adjust. You know, verse 9, all right? They guarded and protected. Come up with something that's going to work, all right? But acknowledge it. Don't just, if something comes up, just push it off to a side. Acknowledge it and say, okay, where do we go from here? All right? Be willing to adjust there. Respond properly to unforeseen challenges in Nehemiah 5:1-9. Let's see how Nehemiah responded to some challenges, and also how we can apply this to our own lives. Nehemiah 5:1-9. Anybody volunteer, Harold? All right, so here Nehemiah, once again, facing his people, discouragement, you know, is set in. And so Nehemiah is now faced with this challenge. All right, how is he responding? He's going back to the word. He's going back to what God has said. He's encouraging his people in verse 9, you know. Should we not walk in the fear of our God in order to avoid being mocked by our enemies? All right, we are facing, as people of our own lives, face challenges, face difficulties in our own lives. You know, how do we handle these things? How do we go about these things? You know, we are here in Nehemiah, you know, he's dealing with this in our own lives. How do we deal with the circumstances that come in our own lives? When people are looking at us as circumstances arise, how do we handle it? You know, people are watching us, aren't they? On a daily basis. You know, where I work, you know, people know that I'm a Christian. They watch me like a hawk, waiting for me to trip up, you know. So people are watching us every day. You know, how do we handle ourselves? We cannot control the circumstances around us, but we can control how we handle them. All right, that's very key. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to us, to all the world. Instead, be very glad. All right? Here's scripture saying, be glad when circumstances come your way. Why? So people can see the glory of the Lord. So people can see God coming out of you during these difficult times. All right? And it's easy to be a, you know, we say it's easy to be a Christian in church, but it's not always easy to be a Christian outside of the church when circumstances arise. You know, how do we respond when these things arise? The Bible says here it's joy. Why? It's, you're going to be able to show the Lord Jesus through this time. Through this time, you're going to be able to show the Lord Jesus. So it's a challenge. It's just an encouragement to us. What see, people see us, they see the Lord in times of circumstances. And then go back and evaluate. Let's see what Nehemiah did. He evaluated Nehemiah 6, 15 and 16. Nehemiah 6, 15 and 16. Let's see what he did here. Eddie, can you read that? 6, 15 and 16. Amen. How many days, Pastor, was the wall built? 52 days. 52 days. Yep. Wow. What a... I have a picture in my Bible of the wall around Jerusalem. And it's no mighty... It's no easy task. You know, and I still remember this from your message. You know, it was the Lord. The Lord got them to where they were. All because of the Lord used Nehemiah, and because of Nehemiah, his heart and his passion, he went out there and just rallied around, people rallied around him because of what the Lord was doing through him. You know? So Nehemiah goes, and now after 52 days after this great, what would you call it? Not feast. A great feat had been, thank you. I could use a simple word, but I'm trying to keep up with Harold. this great feat, you know, he goes back and evaluates it. This is what has been done, but yet, after what he has done, who is he giving the credit to? He's giving the credit to the Lord. You know, after we get done within our things that happen with our own life, we go back and we look, we evaluate them. You know, man, I went from A to B to C to D. I'm all the way to D now, and it's nothing to do with here. What, man, look what I have done. We go back and we say, all right, let's go back and evaluate. Where did we start? What process did we get to where we are to now, to where it's finished? And you go back and we look and where the hand of God was. And we can learn a lot from our past. And in experiencing God, we learn, people have done that study, is these things are called spiritual markers. You go back within your Christian life and you look and see where God has worked in our lives. And we mark them as spiritual markers in our own lives. So then, as we go through different times, different stages of our life, we can go back and remember the, you know, this marker that is in our life, our bookmark that is the spiritual marker that's in our life, and we see where we started and where we got, how we got through it, and we see the hand of God in it. And so we can use that for new trials that come into our lives and difficult times. We can go back and we can remember the hand of God. So now when we're in another chapter saying, oh God, where are you? We can reflect and say, oh God, you are awesome here. And now you're going to encourage me and get me through this. And so it's that great comfort to go back and look and give God the praise and glory and yet take it with you to where you are into this, to this next chapter of your life. And spiritual markers. Remember that through it, through everything that we do, we want to please God. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever we do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. We're not doing things that bring pleasing pleasures to ourselves. You know, we're pleasing, doing them to please God. Nehemiah was here saying, God, I will go and I will please you through the whole thing. And his whole leadership through this, he spewed out God. He went through these proper steps. He prayed. You know, first of all, he prayed. And then God led him to a decision to take on this task. It wasn't of his own. Then he researched what he had to do. He established a plan. He had passion about what he was doing because God was in it. He acknowledged his weaknesses when they came. And he was willing to adjust within his life, within the surroundings. He responded properly to things that came up. You know, kept his testimony. And then evaluated after it was done. He said, God, you are good. You know, because of you, we are to where we are today. And got this done. So, and as we face life's challenges, be ready, pray, and let God, in his calling, work in our own lives. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just thank you for the story of Nehemiah, Lord. Lord, it is encouraging to our own hearts, as Lord, as we go through whatever it may be, Lord, just a decision to make. Lord, a challenge within our own life, Lord, that we can stop and pray. And Lord, as we heard this morning, is we need to listen. You know, we need to listen and hear where you would have us to take us. And Lord, once we hear from you, Lord, we know that we can move forward. And despite our circumstances, despite our challenges, you know, Lord, we will continue on and carry on. And Lord, as we are carrying on, Lord, we will show passion within our hearts. And Lord, that others may see your work being done through us and the passion that we have for your work, Lord. And Lord, and when we're done, Lord, we acknowledge how good you are. We look back and say, Lord, you are awesome. Thank you. And we give you the credit, Lord, for that work in our own lives. In your name we pray. Amen.